Hello and welcome once again to the CGW podcast. With me are the regular cast from the CGW editorial team, who will now introduce themselves.
Ryan Scott.
Sean Elliott.
Darren Gladstone. And by the way, guys, I think that'll be the only thing Ryan says today.
That's it.
That's it. We're done.
His name. And we have a special guest engineer today, Andrew Pfister.
Hi.
One-up's very own. Also, before we start, apparently on this staff somewhere, one of us is a mouth breather. Because for the last two episodes, somebody's been breathing heavily into the mic the entire time. I have a horrible feeling it might be me. Okay.
I'm so scared.
So we're all going to try to not breathe into the mics. And if we do, we're sorry. Our mothers raised us poorly. We're going to dive right into it with the Star Force watch, which we started last week. And maybe we're ending this week. Well, probably not. But there was big news in the Star Force world this week. And Darren, you want to explain what happened?
Well, I guess the lesson learned is whenever you sue a company, they might actually listen every once in a while. So Ubisoft backs off and says we're no longer using Star Force.
Yay.
So congratulations, Ubisoft. We're actually going to start playing CSI now.
Yeah.
That was the three dimensions of...
Three dimensions of murder.
Murder, right.
You know that when we put a Ubisoft demo on our... one of our last ever CDs. What did we have on there?
Was I think it was Splinter Cell.
It actually installed Star Force onto our readers' computers because it was a Ubisoft game that used Star Force for protection, but then that protection also applied to the demo. So this very thing we were ragging on, we also included.
So basically do as we say, but not as we do?
Well, we didn't. We actually didn't know at the time. Now that I know, I'm twice as mad about Star Force. So, but Heroes of Might and Magic now. Five, I can safely play.
Dark Messiah, be on that.
Dark Messiah.
Good stuff. Splinter Cell.
Yeah. It was big news. It was good to see them listen to the peephole.
Yeah, now I just have to wait for Uber Soldier to remove Star Force.
Who made that game?
CDV. My best friends.
Are you listening, CDV? Get rid of Star Force.
You're next.
You're next. So that's, I think that's all on our Sean's making slapping motions. I don't know what he's slapping. So that's it for Star Force, I think, for this week, right?
That's it for now.
Okay, and we'll see you next week.
And
we gotta stop doing this.
Was. That was that moving on to...
Oh, moving on to the next thing.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I thought you were just like randomly,
nope.
You know...
That slap
in
your,
that
in your
my slap
B&D dungeon or something for a moment.
Aggroing.
Okay, well, we have a list of topics here, and one of these is Major League Gaming, which I don't really know anything about, Sean Elliott. So why don't you tell us what that is you want to talk about there? You put it on the list.
I didn't put it on the list,
actually,
but I like it. I like
Darren
it.
Did
it.
I'm to blame.
Okay.
So if from what I'm reading here, it looks like Major League Gaming is partnering with the USA Network. And Darren wants to know if anyone will actually watch. And I think I will, depending on the content they put on there. Now,
what is it? It's video of guys playing games?
That's the thing. I mean, I guess they're trying to, like, you know, play up the whole... Obviously, playing it up as a sport, offering up big money prizes. I guess the question I always have with these things is, like, I've had problems watching people play games in the past, but when I go to, like, you know, a QuakeCon or something, you get kind of the vibe, you know, of
right.
the fans, and you're hanging out with them. It's more of a party environment. I don't know if it's how it's...
But if you're at
over.
Home?
Exactly.
Okay, so here's the thing I'm thinking about. I don't know if I'll watch it every night, but, I mean, nowadays we see poker on
yes.
television
yep.
as
okay.
a spectator
yep.
sport. We see paintball more and more
right.
as a spectator sport. So it's kind of like every time we say no one's going to watch it, people surprise us and end up watching it. In this case, here's what I like about it. So for one, when it's really high-level play, especially in a shooter or something, and this goes for everything, a StarCraft, you know, mm-hmm. it's mesmerizing in that you just weren't aware that these things were possible, and you're looking at it, and there's sort of that magic aspect to it where you're like, are these people cheating? And you're like, they're not cheating. They're just this good. So if you play casually, it's interesting mm-hmm. to see that level of play, and especially if you're used to these guys whooping your butt in servers,
right.
now you're seeing kind of what's going on there. On the other hand, I think it'd be fun, too, if they have WoW Guild go on. Imagine the crazy Finnish nut job known as Dives from the YTMNDs who's screaming and raging at his guild. Now, imagine if you could watch... I mean, there'd be a lot of bleeps going on, but if you could watch
yeah.
that guild go through a raid on Onyxia or whatever and, you know, wipe on that, that would be pretty entertaining.
Maybe once, though. That's what I worry
about.
It
never gets old.
You think?
That stuff has been going on in the office for a month now. It's like at any given moment you hear it playing on someone's computer.
Yeah.
So that's definitely more than once.
Dude, and the soundboards are awesome.
Yeah. I the poker analogy is a good one, but I also wonder, though, because like watching poker on TV, there's two things. For one, it's like super slow. I mean, in other words, the game is progressing so slowly that you can, as opposed to a death match, say, or a real-time strategy game, where you can actually like kind of have a poker channel on and be doing other things and then checking in on the game, right? Like,
right.
If you're like actually trying to watch an RTS match, almost seems like kind of exhausting for one, and then also just like to be able to even understand what's going on.
Think about a high-scoring game like basketball, though. I mean, you could turn away from that, go grab a beer, and come back in. You know, the scoreboard's going to have changed a bit,
That's
but you're
true.
Not going to be that far out of it.
Okay, but the other thing about poker, too, is like, to me, what makes poker on TV cool is the way they figured out for you to be able to see the people's hands, the down cards, right? So then you actually get to, like, watch their strategy. Like, you know something the other players don't know. Mm-hmm. So there's sort of an element of suspense there, as well as an element of, well, what would I do if I was that guy? Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that would translate into...
I think that's a good point. You could play that up with multiple with paneling and tiling screens where you can pair, you know, you can juxtapose two different viewpoints. So the stalker and then the prey, you know.
Yeah.
You can actually see that sort of thing working. Or you can show a whole squad's viewpoint at once. So maybe you panel it into four and you see how they're actually working together. And it would reveal that stuff. And then one other thing I think that would make it interesting is I assume they would do something like this with the TV poker and whatnot is like make the people an issue too. So you're not just showing this, but make it so you care the way you do with any athlete. You know,
right.
If you don't care about the athletes, you're not going to care so much about the game. But if they can, you know, if they follow these people and track them in their season and see what's at stake for them, I mean, just training.
That's
like
true.
Like
yeah.
Look at a Spellbound or something. You know, like who wants to watch kids study for a spelling bee? But when you actually do it, it's really interesting because the stakes are so high, irrespective of what they're actually doing, you know.
Right.
So here, I assume there's all that drama there as well, and it'd be interesting, an eye-opening for people to see that.
Right. Well, they definitely have to play that up. And just going back to one thing you're talking about, like, you know, paneling and having all this stuff, like, one thing I was thinking is they're going to need a good dedicated cameraman in-game in a spectator mode, just kind of following the action from more of a bird's-eye view. And then,
yeah. There'd have to be a pretty savvy director there who really understood the game.
Right.
Understood, you know, where to be, who to be following.
Definitely.
Yeah, because I try watching some people play games, you know, in someone's first person view, and I get a little nauseous sometimes because I feel like I'm playing and I want to turn right and they're turning left or something.
And the director too would also have to know, you know, or whoever's editing it later, you know, which person to key in on at any particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if some guy's just wandering around in circles, you don't want to be watching that.
And it has to be time delayed and edited because if it's in real time, you can have someone on a TeamSpeak channel with someone who's actually in the tournament playing and say, hey, they're showing Bob Joe coming up behind you with quad damage. You know, you might want to turn around and do this or that. And on the same note on this thing, outside of cable network television, Source is doing something similar called Source TV, and it's in testing mode now, and it's basically you go on to this channel and you're seeing a game as it's playing with like a 7 to, you know, 15 second delay and more or less watching the same thing happen but at your computer. So,
well, you're the Battlefield fiend. Isn't there like something like Battlefield TV?
That's different, and that's basically recording your matches for playback later when they're done, whereas Source TV is more of like playing up the spectator sport aspect of it where you're watching it with just a few seconds delay and
seeing
a game in motion. And so, you know, when they wrap it up, you can celebrate or...
I still just have a hard time getting behind the gaming on TV thing, with all due respect to the gaming TV channels out there. You know, I still feel like... if it's the time in the evening where I'm thinking about gaming, I want to play a game and not watch TV about a game. You know, I suppose you could say that about this or reading a magazine, I suppose.
I think about this, yeah. where does that put this?
Well, I'd rather be playing a game than doing this.
Then you have, there's the Korean model too in South Korea where not just one network, but
multiple.
Dozens of networks. And the guys come in with like wrestling entrance theme music and fanfare and... take their stations, and you just got millions of viewers for
That'd
this.
That'd be awesome.
So and I do it can happen.
Yeah. Eh. Well, when I was at BlizzCon, I was watching the ace players playing StarCraft, and that was really fun to me. So I don't know. I guess if you know the game and the players are really good, I mean, maybe you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It'll be funny, though, like the people doing signature moves and stuff, spray tags and this and that, but
Maybe the key would be like a great announcer too, you know. Dick Vitale sort of guy.
You got to have some guy going, Frag!
Oh, God. All right, I take it back. I don't want to watch that.
When's this stuff starting?
Don't know. Maybe the fall?
We don't know. We just talk.
And how long will it last? Hey, we just saw it on the internet somewhere. It was a rumor.
We're your gaming experts.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Next on the agenda is we're going to talk about preloading of upcoming games, which include such topics or such games as Sin and Aftermath. Are we excited about this? Is anyone going to do it other than Sean? Yeah,
I already have Sin preloaded and I'm waiting on Aftermath.
Aftermath is now episode 2. Just got to add that.
Oh, really?
Just for the people at Valve.
Oh, they want it clear.
They changed the name. Yeah.
Okay. Does preloading also mean prepaid?
Technically,
no, you don't need to prepay to preload.
No, you don't?
I think it works in their favor that way, because then you can just kind of impulse. You don't have to really worry about it and preload just in case, and then you feel like, hey, might as well click the pay button now since I've already got it on my computer.
Well, what does it get you to preload? I mean, what does that mean? Is it like already on your machine?
You basically evade the line. So when the official download does become available, rather than queuing up with all these people for all this, you know, fighting for the same bandwidth, you basically are just pressing an activation button and you're playing right then and there.
So you actually have it on your machine right now?
It's just sitting there dormant waiting for the activation code.
So why don't they just activate it right now?
I think it's part of a deal because they might be timing it. This is all speculation. Yep. But I know that there's a talk of like working to have a retail release as well. So maybe they're trying to time it out so it's released digitally and with retail.
I guess I was thinking that couldn't they just like charge you extra to activate it now, but then of course you could just spread it out on the internet, couldn't you?
Well, it activates over Steam, so I don't know how.
Oh,
think of that. You don't want to charge people extra you want to give people the discount for being the first in the door.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I pre-ordered the new Flaming Lips CD on iTunes, and for that I paid an extra $1, I think, and I got like a special pre-order song. But to me, that was worth it. Mm-hmm.
I was really pissed because I actually paid for the disc.
Yeah.
No extra song for me.
But, I mean, so what I'm saying is that maybe gamers would do that too. Like, I'll pay extra than what the regular streaming download would be if you give me this or that. Mm-hmm. Give me that horse armor.
The fun thing about it is that instead of, you know, people going to stores at various parts of the day and different, you know, different time zones and stuff and coming back to message boards and reporting on, you know, their experience with the game. You got those situations where friends can just basically pop into TeamSpeak, count down together, and then start playing and talking about it at the same time. I mentioned that in the preview for Sin Episodes, and president of Ritual over there, Thomas Dane, was, you know, talking about how he hopes for the same thing, where you've got basically people, you know, lined up and actually talking to one another as they're playing. And, hey, I just went over here and did this, you know, and comparing and contrasting experiences and stuff. But I think that part of it can be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and before I forget, I just want to say, if you get a chance now, you can actually also download the original Sin game. So that's for free. So you can just check that out and, you know, relive the past a little.
What engine was that again?
Do you remember? I am totally drawing a blank right now.
Is it the Half-Life engine?
Or is it Quake? Is it? No, because I thought that was concurrent with Half-Life 1.
No, actually, it came out like the same week as, or it came out within a week or two of Half-Life 1.
Quake 2, maybe?
I think it's Quake 2 engine.
All right. Well, somebody send us an email or post on our message board and tell us what engine Sin was in, and we're sorry for not knowing anything again.
You're gaming experts again.
That's the theme of this week's show. We know nothing. And speaking of knowing nothing, topic number 4 is actually a big one for us. Actually, it's not that we know nothing. We know a lot about this one because this is all we're thinking about these days. We're going to get to our reader questions here. And the one question that we're drawing the most has to do with our new issue that you guys have, the May issue. We actually just finished June, but you have May. And that was the debut of our new format, which has a lot of changes, but the biggest one has to do with the review section. And this question from Philip Davis actually is a very general, but it's one that represents a lot of you. And he asks, what prompted you to make the big reviews section change now called Viewpoint. We don't really have to spend any more detail on what the changes are because I think y'all know them. We cut out the scores. We have bonded with 1UP in presenting multiple viewpoints on each review. Well, actually, why don't I let you field this, Ryan? This means you're going to have to talk since you're the reviews editor.
I have to talk?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
In a louder voice than
that. What prompted...
Wow.
What prompted us to make the big review section change?
That is the question. And your answer is?
I think it was sort of like a question of relevance. You know, we our reviews, as they were, we were sort of giving people the same thing that all the websites sort of had 6 to 8 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And we were tired of doing that.
You know, that is the basic reason. And a lot of the response we've gotten in the letters mailbox has been, well,
I only read CGW.
Right. So what do we say to these people who don't do what our assumption was, which is that they are getting gaming news online all the time, that maybe they did just read this print magazine, and that a 6 to 8 week review, late review is actually, you know, not a big deal to them.
Well, I think, I don't know, I might be looking at this different than a reader would, but if I were to just look at our reviews without reading, say, like the 1UP review or something, I would still be getting something out of them. I don't think, you know, you're required to have read all about a game before you see it in CGW. Mm-hmm. Like, you might pick up on a couple more things if you've seen an online review before you see it in the mag, but I don't think that's, like, a hindrance.
I mean, in fact, our intention is really to kind of be more like a last word on a game.
Right.
But if we're doing our job right, I think what you said is correct. We're trying to just present a broader picture. We're not trying to abdicate our responsibility. Of course, we have opinions on these games, and we want to share those opinions. But we're trying to put it in the bigger context of that our opinions are coming weeks and weeks after the game shipped. They're not coming the day that they showed up in stores. And so we're trying to use that to our advantage, where in the past it's sort of been a hindrance to us. Like, for example, the issue we're just now starting is the July
issue.
It's the June issue, the one we just finished, which is going to ship in on May 20th. That's when our Oblivion review is going to appear. Even in the old format, we could have done it no sooner than that. So the first time CGW was going to review Oblivion was going to be for people picking it up in mid-May. Well, who really needs that kind of review as if the way we'd written them in the past, where we're writing as if we know this is the first time they're going to be seeing it, or we're assuming this is the first time they're going to be seeing an opinion. Who really needs that in May? Because in May, most people have played it, formed their own opinion, read other reviews, and sold the game back, right? So
where were they going to sell that game back? You can't sell PC games back.
On eBay.
All right.
Or Craigslist.
Half.com.
And so the idea...
You're already planning that out.
The idea instead is to say that to still tell you what we think, whether it's an editor's choice, whether we think this was, you know, an awesome effort or not, whether we think it's worthy of buying, but also to put it in a bigger context of the gaming community, of not what only what other websites have said, not only what 1UP.com has said, but also what maybe the developers say. In fact, in the Oblivion review, we have one page that is an interview with Todd Howard, the lead designer of Oblivion, to get his own take on how he feels the game went.
In some ways, too, there are cases in games where it's definitely not cut and dry. There are going to be different camps. You're going to have a group that insists that something works perfectly, you know, that they love the way it works, and then there's going to be another that disagrees all the way. And the way we're doing it now, we can actually acknowledge both of those perspectives. It doesn't mean we're ceding to one or the other. We'll mm-hmm. come in, like, say, for example, in my Euroforce and Battlefield, you know, patch viewpoint, I'm saying what I think. But I'm also saying these other viewpoints exist, and I still think this despite those. But if you're just casually reading, you're saying, oh, well, the opposition he's describing actually describes my general, you know, temperament when it comes to these types of games. So maybe I'm not going to agree with the editor in this case, you know?
Right.
So it's still there. And I think it's like basic, you know, college paper writing. It's like, you know, you strengthen your own argument by acknowledging, you know, or a debate club or whatever, by acknowledging what the criticisms are, mm-hmm. what the counter arguments are. And then, you know, you can also support your argument in some cases where other people happen to agree with you. And by drawing, you know, we're still feeling our way toward how exactly we want to do it.
We are. I mean, I think that's one thing we want to tell readers over the podcast here today is that we're acknowledging this is a work in progress. You know, we're very much forging new ground here. We are. We're saying that the monthly gaming magazine format needs to change, and that we want to sort of lead the charge in that. But, you know, we'd be lying if we said we had it all mapped out like evil geniuses and we know exactly how it's going to work. We're, you know, we're going to be fiddling with it over the months to see what works and doesn't. And I think I could safely say that the new viewpoint section is like, you know, exponentially better than that first one. Don't you think?
Well, one of the big things that people have been complaining about this issue is just the lineup itself. You know,
yeah.
You're getting Rainbow Six review, which we kind of already did in the issue before this.
Yep.
You got three pages on a downloadable word game on Pawnee's Bookstore, and you've got a big patch review on X3. Like, that's
right.
Kind of the meat of the review section.
It was slim pickings this month, and we acknowledged
that. I mean, it was kind of a transition month.
It was.
So, I mean, next month's going to be better.
What about how to read the Star Wars Empire at War, Tom and Bruce, now? Are we looking at those as viewpoints?
We're kind of looking at these as reviews, yeah. This is we kind of think that Tom versus Bruce is a good way to look at a game in a multiplayer context.
But we're not going to attach like an editor's choice to a game.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, we are?
We are? Oh, yes.
Boy.
Well, we're arguing online here.
Oh.
How embarrassing.
Lord of the Rings, Battle for Middle Earth 2, which is the one that they did for the June issue, the next one you guys will be seeing. They gave that an editor's
choice. Spoilers.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Hey, it's already out the door.
Did I approve this sort of thing? I think Ryan's going to be in my office after this podcast.
Ryan Gaming World.
Sorry, sir.
Well, I guess, yeah, sure.
But, and I mean, a game like a game.
Now you know who the real Shadow Master of CGW is.
Exactly. The Dick Cheney of CGW.
A game like Empire at War or Battle for Middle Earth 2, I mean, the multiplayer is kind of what people care the most about with those games anyway.
Right.
You know, the people who are going to keep playing it, so.
I understand readers' pain. I do feel it. But I think that we really have to, you know, I believe in what we're doing, though. I think that we have to go forward with this approach. But definitely, you know, we've gotten a lot of email about this, and a lot of it is negative, and it's a bit hard to take. And I wanted to read just an excerpt of one that's just been, all week, it's just been annoying me, which is just... this guy, I won't put his name in, but he says, I need reviews that tell me quickly about a game with stars or numbers or letters, anything that rates them. I don't have the time at my age to read about video games. I just want to know what is good so that I can relax for a few hours. And the reason that keeps annoying me is I don't have the time at my age to read about video games. I mean, he's bought a magazine. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to personally attack this guy. I'm not saying his name. But if you don't have the time to read about video games, why are you looking at a magazine and writing to us? You know, I mean, I think that if people really do just want a number from us, well, or just want a number, that's what game rankings is for.
And one up. I mean, you go right there and you can access a score immediately.
Right. I mean,
no, we have a page that just has a bunch of one-up scores.
I mean, if you're just looking for a number score, just go to like whatever, like the end page in the viewpoint section. Where you're covered.
Right. I just don't feel philosophically that's the point of a magazine. You know, is to just get a list of numbers.
But we do agree about getting more viewpoints in the viewpoint section each month.
And also making
our voice
it clear,
very clear,
yes, what our viewpoint is.
Right. Yeah. And like, not every review needs to be three or four pages. We're just going to like let the material dictate itself.
That's right. That not every month is going to be three page reviews of Bonnie's Bookstore. No offense to Bonnie.
Or her bookstore.
Or her bookstore. Especially that cool stuff in the back. Okay. Skip is flashing us the we've been talking for 25 minutes sign.
Oh, I thought he was just going to flash us.
That's later. Do we want to address any other questions, reader questions?
Well, yeah.
I think we've kind of answered. Reader Andrew Sullivan writes that, he asks us how we as a unit participate individually or, okay, I can't read, hold on. How does CGW as a unit or each participant individually view the relationship between the magazine and the 1UP.com website? So I think to answer his question, we're sort of getting it out there in that the website, for one, can definitely get you the score right away and can get it is the nature of online, can get it to you before we can.
That's
in
right.
print. And then we're, for all the reasons that we just explained, we're coming in after the fact with all this other.
And let's reemphasize, you know, that 1UP score counts as the CGW score. It counts. We're all one. We're all one happy family here.
And plus, we're sharing the same reviewers, and a lot of us,
that's
you know,
right.
CGW staff, are going to be reviewing those PC games on 1UP. So,
yeah, don't make a face. It does. it does count. I mean,
do I get paid more?
No.
No, you don't.
That's the truth about what we think of the connection. Just plain.
More from Andrew Sullivan because he has a long list of questions. And thank you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to read any more of it, apparently.
Well, quick thing on the end. He asked if we use the blogging features on the main site. And I think you guys can answer that. I know Jeff and Darren and Ryan mm-hmm. all blog.
Mm-hmm. I like the blogging feature. I wish I had a little more time to do it, but I do like it a lot. I try to get some things in there that I wouldn't talk about it in the magazine, maybe just more personal things about what's going on in the game or in my private life.
I have to apologize because, well, not that anyone's reading except for my mom, but I haven't updated my blog since like December. That's mostly because I suck.
Oh, we know that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I only blog about once a month. I don't use the blog very much. I'm on the message boards every day, though. So
yep, I'm definitely a lurker on the message boards. I don't write all the time, but I definitely read all the stuff on the forums.
So yeah, I think all of us are on the message boards. We don't always post a lot, but if you post, dear reader, we are definitely there reading them.
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't blog because I do all that stuff on the message boards, and I'd rather it just be like wild and woolly and dynamic and go mm-hmm. on there. But the thing is, we could definitely use some more posts on our boards, and I'm always there lurking. And so in the meantime, I'm on the EGM boards waiting for you guys to come and put your activity on the CGW boards. But if you do it, we'll be there to argue with you, to talk to you, whatever.
Oh, and before I forget, I know we haven't talked about it a whole lot, but the tech section, obviously that went through some major changes as well.
Yes.
And if anyone has any suggestions, topics they'd like to see covered, if you have questions, throw them out there on the board. We're going to try to tackle them. We're going to try to tackle as many as possible in the magazine.
Right. If you're listening and have not paid attention to the tech section of late, Darren has kind of single-handedly reformatted the section and done a pretty awesome job of it. And that was the idea was, well, how can we get you guys to read this section? And we decided instead of doing sort of the old, let's just review whatever random crap showed up at the office this month, to try to come up with a question and a how-to sort of format. Like, well, you know, how do I buy an LCD monitor, and what should I look for, and what matters? Or the same thing with any kind of hardware topic, right? So there are thematic sections now where we're really trying to make it be very results-oriented and kind of gamer-related. In other words, it's not just a collection of just hardware tech reviews. They're very much trying to answer your questions. So like Darren said, ask them.
And it's just an improvement over the sporadic, like here's a video card, here's a keyboard, and here's and in this kind of sort of comparative vacuum, one of them that's $5,000 gets 4 stars or this or that. Now you've got a whole bunch and you can say, hey, this is the good part about this one. It's also half the price of the other one. Maybe I'll go with it, or I like what they say about this one.
Right. And conversely, I had seen some complaints on the board saying that they missed the hardcore dig in on the reviews in the magazine. Well, here's a little secret for you. All that stuff is being pulled straight from Extreme Tech. So if you go there, you're going to find the hardcore reviews way more than we could ever fit in the magazine.
Right. Because those hardcore reviews that they're missing are just like, extremely partial versions of the ones that we've edited them way down from Extreme Tech.
Right. I mean, like, you know, here's you know, the real secret. I mean, if it was a secret, but prior to this changeover, we were just taking their reviews anyhow and just kind of compressing them down.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just get down to the kernel of it, and then you go online.
Right.
Anyway, that's it. Just wanted to throw that out there before we forgot.
We do have that last question.
We do. That question's been sort of burning our eyes out whole past half hour.
So
do we want to ask it?
Cream Pies asks, why does it hurt when I pee? And you guys might have answers, but I say Star Force.
It hurts. It hurts because of Star Force.
That's why.
I'm gonna
Ryan.
Say, Ryan.
Why does it hurt? Why does it hurt when cream pie pees?
God.
I think you just answered
shit.
That.
It might have something to do with his name.
Yeah, that was my answer because he's named Cream Pies. Anyone else want to take a gander at this?
Well, remember, see a doctor.
See a doctor. That's Dr. Darren's word to you, Cream Pies. We hope next time you write us that you feel better.
And hopefully it cleared up, yeah.
Sincerely from the gang at CGW. And with that, we're out. We'll talk to you next week. We hope you all, especially you, Cream Pies, have a good week. We'll see you next week.